Okay. Small crowd. I'm familiar with the small crowd too. Okay. Rav Shabbos. Good. I hope everyone's enjoying. All right. Very good. So I got a couple of questions recently relating to integrity, honesty, and I think I mentioned last week when it comes to integrity, honesty, those kinds of things, I think it's important for poskim to be more machmir than they normally would be about other things. You know, I think Rav Shechter told us once that, no, Rabbi Willig told me once, that Rav Meisha said to him that the only area of halacha that a posek should be, should dafka look for a kula, should always look for a kula is hilchas nida. And I think one can say in our day and age, the area of halacha where a person should dafka look for a chumra is maybe in issues of honesty and integrity, right? Nevertheless, these two shailas, I think, you'll see, are a little bit different. One of them, someone, my talmidim in 11th grade in DRS, noticed they were taking an AP course. I don't remember which AP course, but it's a, you know, supposed to be an intense course. So in order to help study, they went online. And they, you know, Googled AP, whatever. And the first thing that came up is the Baron's website. And it had, you know, a sample test. So they studied the sample test. Then they went in, they took their first test of the year. And it was the same test. It was exactly the same test they found on the website. Okay, it was a coincidence. They got really lucky. So then the second test, they went to the same website. Figured, take that sample test, maybe good. And they went to take the test. And it was the same test, the same sample test from the Baron's website. And then, what? So then they on the third test, there are three tests plus a final. The third test, once again, same thing. So for the final, there's a final also on the website. So for the final, they just remembered A, D, B, C, D, whatever. They didn't even, they knew it was not going to be anything different. And they asked, are you allowed to use that information going into the test? Is that permissible to use the Baron's website knowing that the teacher is getting the test from there? That was their question. It was very nice that they asked the question. Right, so then, okay. What? Why should there be any discussion? Okay, good. So we'll talk why there should be any discussion. The second question, I had a Talmud of mine told me that he's asking this for a friend. A Talmud who happens to go to Queens College told me that his friend is in Queens College also, and coincidentally, and his friend is of dating age. He's, I don't know, 22, 23, whatever age he is, he's going to date. And he noticed that there was a young lady who just came back from seminary in one of his classes. And he thinks she has very beautiful midos, and she seems to be an appropriate shidduch for him. So he's not going to, you know, go over and introduce himself or anything like that. But he wants to impress her so that when he gets someone else to go over to her and mention his name, she'll be like, oh, that guy, I'm impressed with that guy. So normally before class, he gets to class 5 minutes early usually because the teacher's very machmir about attendance. So he gets to class 5 minutes early and he plays Angry Birds on his phone normally. But now that this young lady is back from seminary and she's there, so he decided he'll bring one of these guys, you know, Chumash Shnayim Mikra, and he'd sit there for 5 minutes learning Shnayim Mikra, and that way she'll see and she'll be so impressed what a masmid he is that he takes advantage of every minute to learn Torah, and that way she'll remember when someone suggests him for a shidduch, she'll say, ah, that guy, the big masmid. So he wanted to know. Then it occurred to him, is that deceptive that I'm going to be pretending to be such a masmid when I'm not such a masmid? Am I allowed to learn? Am I allowed to do that? So these are the two questions. I didn't think the shilas were such great shilas, but I thought the topics of the shilas are good topics. Meaning the issue of what you're allowed to use Torah for, and the issue of, meaning learning Torah for ulterior motives, and the issue of Gnevus Das, dishonesty, cheating in general, and what are the limits of that in terms of dishonesty, and who are you being Gonev Das from when you cheat? So I was talking to my 11th grade Talmidim, and I said, And then I was playing devil's advocate. So whatever they said to this second Shiloh with the fellow who was going to learn before class. So whatever they said, I was taking the other side. So someone said, it's for sure, Mata, there's no problem. And I said, what do you mean? The girl's going to wake up. She'll be married to him for 3 years. And she's going to say, what's with this guy? He doesn't go to Minyan. He never learns. He was such a masmid before. And she's not going to know. So he said, no, by the time they're married for 3 years, she'll have been back from seminary for a while. She won't care anymore. So it's an unduly cynical response, but a clever one nonetheless. So the question is, what are you allowed to use Torah for? What are you not allowed to use Torah for? What's considered a type of Talmud Torah that would be considered inappropriate? So you're probably aware of the Gemara Maseches Pesachim and Daf Nun Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, "Amar Rabbi Dom Rav, lo li miyasek adam b'Torah mitzvos afal bi shalolishma shemitoch shalolishma balishma." That a person should learn Torah mitzvos, should do Torah, learn Torah, do mitzvos, even if it's shalolishma, because ultimately come lishma. Now, Bali Atosos throughout Shas raised the problem that's not the only Gemara that talks about learning shalol l'shma. There are three other Gemaras that seem to relate to either Torah or mitzvot shalol l'shma, and they're not consistent in terms of the way they relate to Torah mitzvot shalol l'shma. The Gemara Maseches Tainis and Av Zayin tells us, "Kala osik b'Torah shalol l'shma nasas lo sama maves." That if a person learns Torah shalol l'shma, it becomes like a poison to him. The Gemara tells us that if you learn Torah l'shma, it's a samachayim, it's an elixir of life, it's wonderful. But you learn Torah shalol l'shma, it's poisonous. So it sounds like samamavis is something you want to stay away from. It's not something that could go either way or that's positive in some way. It sounds like it's terrible. The Gemara Maseches Nazir and the Chav Gimel Amud Aleph tells us, Amar Rabbi Bechanan Rabbi Yochanan, ki yesharim darchei Hashem, tzadikim yalchu bam uposhim yikashlu bam, mashal shnei b'nei adam shatzalu es pischeyen. Now, how do you understand this idea of tzadikim yalchu bam, that the darchei Hashem are all yashar, but tzadikim yalchu bam, the tzadikim will go in the ways of Hashem, poshim yikashlu bam, and the poshim are going to stumble in the ways of Hashem? So we give a mashal, two people roast the carbon Pesach. Echad achlu l'shem mitzvah, v'echad achlu l'shem achila gasa. One eats it l'shem mitzvah, the other one eats it because he really likes shawarma. That's what Karban Pesach was. It was lamb, and it was roasted, and it was in a lafa. Right? You had it with the matzah and the marah together, so the matzah was a lafa. They didn't know from these cracker matzahs. They had soft matzahs the way they were meant to be, and they had with a little bit of lettuce, because that's what marah is supposed to be, and they had a nice lafa, so the person was eating it l'shem achila gasa. So zeh shachlu l'shem mitzvah tzadikim yalchu bam. Zeh shachlu l'shem achila gasa uposhim yikashlu bam. The guy who eats l'shem mitzvah, wonderful, tzadik. The guy who eats l'shem achila gasa, poshim yikashlu bam, he's a posheya. So says Gemara, really posheya? Hai rasha karisalei. Need to look off a mitzvah min a mufchar, pesach mi haka'avid. Reish Lakish disagrees. He says, how could you call him a rasha? He's doing the mitzvah. He may have ulterior motives. He may not be doing the mitzvah min a mufchar. There's a beautiful Beis Halevi that goes into detail on that Gemara in terms of tzvei dinim in achilas karban pesach. That most times, just the quick lemons, most times when you have a mitzvah achilas karban, the mitzvah is not really on the achilas ha-karban, it's that the karban sheyehe ne'echal, that should get eaten, the Beis Halevi writes. But karban Pesach is tzvei dinim. There's a din sheyehe ne'echal, it shouldn't become nosar. You shouldn't leave it over to the point where it's going to become nosar. Plus, there's another din of a mitzvah achila, that you have to actually eat it. Well, the mind of kamina between the two dinim, sheyehe ne'echal or mitzvah achila, what if you split it between 1,000 people? And everyone gets a tiny bit. It's like when I ask my daughter if she's having a snack, do you want to share that with me? Yes, and she'll take like the tiniest little piece, like microscopic, here, that's for you. So we give everyone the tiniest little piece. No one's eating a kazayis, so but yehe ne'echal, it's getting eaten. The whole thing is being consumed, it's not becoming nosar. But a mitzvah achila, that you don't have. You only have that with a kazayis. So by Karban Pesach, You have both mitzvahs. So that's what maybe achila gasa. That's what the Beis Halevi writes. That when a person eats l'shem achila gasa, it's not called achila, because that's the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that if you eat an achila gasa on Yom Kippurim, you're not chayiv for achila gasa on Yom Kippur. You could eat in Yom Kippur and not be chayiv kares. As long as it's achila gasa. How do you manage an achila gasa on Yom Kippur? Right when Yom Kippur starts. Right after you just finished a big suda, it's always the most challenging time. Right when Yom Kippur starts, you're very heavy, big suda. You You eat more then. That's an achila gasa, you'd be potter. So, because it's not called an achila, but it would be sheyehei nechal. So that's what the Reish Lakish is saying. You call him Rasha. He didn't do the mitzvah min amubchar because he didn't fulfill tzvei dinim in Karm Pesach. But Pesach miyakavid, but he still did one din. But nevertheless, what you see from that Gemara, at least according to Reish Lakish, is that a mitzvah shalol lishma is a mitzvah. That a mitzvah shalol lishma may not be the best mitzvah, but it's still a mitzvah. And then, of course, the other example of mitzvah shalol lishma is the Gemara Pesach and Daf Chesa Meral talks about Homer Selazul Tzedaka, and there's a few places in Shas, Bishvil Sheyichya Bini. A guy says, I'm going to give Tzedakah because I want my child to live, to have Rufo Shalema from whatever illness he has. Oh, Sheyeh Ben Alma Ba, Hareza Tzadik Amur. Someone who gives Tzedakah with such motives is a Tzadik Amur. So that makes it sound like the Shalol Lishma is a very positive thing. So all of these Gemaras, you have floating around Shas, and the Bali Atosos wonder, what's the story with learning Shalol Lishma? Is learning Shalol Lishma, and this guy is very decidedly learning Shalol Lishma. He's learning in the classroom, not because he wants to learn, not because he has the motivation to learn, but he's motivated by the girl. He wants to get the girl, so he's learning in order to be able to get this girl to want to go out with him. So is that considered the good type of Shalol Lishma? The Mitoch Shalol Lishma, Balishma kind of Shalol Lishma? Or is that the Sam Hamaves kind of Shalol Lishma? So to be Miyashev, that issue of the stira, you have Tosim in a few different places in Shas say different things. Tosif in Psachim and Avnun asked the Kasha that the Gemara says that someone who learns Shalol Lishma, Gemara in Brach, it's the fifth Gemara actually, Gemara in Brach says someone who learns Shalol Lishma is Noach Lo Shalol Nivra. It sounds like a very harsh language. Better off never having been born. The Gemara has that discussion in general. Are we all better off never having been born? Gemara Neval Dezara, right? That talks about what? That, yeah, so is it Noach Lo Shenivra, Noach Lo Shalom Nivra? So what's Gemara's Maskana? Shalom Nivra, right? It's a little surprising, unless you're tzaddik. If you're a tzaddik, then it's Noach Lo Shenivra, the Gemara says. But if you're a regular person, not a tzaddik, then it's Noach Lo Shalom Nivra.
And are you born a tzaddik?
So, right? So I asked. We once asked Rav Shachter years ago. I was they used to have Shabbatons between Shalavim, Kerem Yavne, and Gush. We'd all get together three times, all in the same. You know, we'd get together once in Gush, once in Shalavim, once in Kerem Yavne for Shabbos. I think it got far too competitive. They stopped doing it. Too many fist fights. So they just joking. There were no fist fights. Just. Whatever. So the Rav Shachter, yes, I remember Rav Shachter was at Shalvim once, and I was in Shalvim for Shabbos, even though I was not a Shalvim Talmud. This wasn't on one of those Shabbatons, totally unrelated. It was the week before one of those Shabbatons. He wouldn't have been on one of them. But anyway, so he was in nowadays they would make sure to send him in that Shabbos. But okay, whatever. So he was giving shiur in Kippur Aveim, I think it was, and we asked him. And he mentioned this Gemara, and he said, part of Kippur Aveim is Hakaras HaTov. And he mentioned this Gemara, but Noach Lo Shalom Nivra. So he said, yeah, Noach Lo Shalom Nivra is if you're not a tzaddik, but you're all B'nai Yeshiva, so you're all tzaddikim, so it's Noach Lo Shalom Nivra. So he had a very broad definition of tzaddik, that every Ben Yeshiva is a tzaddik. I think he understood tzaddik means someone who's doing Torah Mitzvahs, you're living a life of Torah Mitzvahs, then it's Noach Lo Shenivra. But anyway, so the Gemara in Brachos has this expression that someone who learns Torah Shalom Lishma is Noach Lo Shalom Nivra. So it sounds like it's not a good thing to learn Shalom Lishma. Better not to be here than to learn Shalom Lishma. So Tosis writes, Va'omri da'hasa mari kigon shalomed kedei lehisyaher ulekanter ulekapeches chaver v'balacha. That does a tricky thing over here. You have to read every word carefully. Because he talks about two different types of learning as if they're the only types of learning. Meaning two types of Shalol Lishma. He says one type of Shalol Lishma, the bad type of Shalol Lishma, is lehisyaher. And what's lehisyaher? Lehisyaher is yura, to take credit, to get kavod, to maybe impress a girl. I don't know. That's what it sounds like, yura. And then ulkanter ulkapeches chaverv, and also to be combative and to be able to know how to answer everybody. That's gonna, you know, your firm friend is gonna tell you, say this bracha, and you say, nah, you don't know anything. I mean, give him 10 reasons why you don't have to say bracha or something, and you'll be able to use your Torah learning to be able to ulkapeches chaverv balacha. And the ain't lomed almanas lasos, but you're not being lomed almanas lasos. Because that would be, if it was lo min al manas lasos, that would be lishma. So what does that mean? Is every time lisyar also necessarily not al manas lasos? Sometimes you're learning for the kavod. There are a lot of people that are motivated by kavod. They learn because everyone knows, oh, that's the biggest masman in the yeshiva. He's always, so he's learning because he wants the kavod. But he plans on keeping what he's learning also. He plans on al manas lasos as well. So it's a little bit tricky in Tosos. So he says, "Aval hachamari dumya de yidilel yesh shafal v'niska dovid kuli shabbat v'lo b'malei shabbat she'in miskavin l'shum ra'a elu mitoch atzlus afilu achi gadol ad shamayim chasto." But someone who is just who's just lazy and he needs the motivation of shalol l'shma, so that's fine. That's the good kind of shalol l'shma. So the bad kind of shalol l'shma is you want to do something negative with the Torah and that you have no plans of lasos, but the good kind of shalol shema is stam, you're lazy. So you need the motivation of being in a packed room where people are going to look and people are going to see that you're learning. Now, by the second half of Tosfos, it already sounds like the guy who's learning because he needs the motivation of wanting to impress people, right? He just needs a little extra motivation. But he plans on using his learning, and he's basically a Ben Torah, and he's a good guy. He just says he hates her heart to play Angry Birds instead of being Mavir Sedra. Is that even a popular game anymore? I don't know. I just know people are talking about it for a while. So if he say that's his yates her heart to play that game instead of being Mavir Sedra, so that's his thing. So now, this is what gives him, this is what lights a fire under him, and this is what causes him to be better. Tosfos and Pesachim gives a little bit different. Tosfos earlier in Pesachim Daf Chesam Beis, where it talks about giving tzedakah al menas the sheyichya bini. So Tosfos writes, you're not supposed to be over as rav al menas l'sham. You're not supposed to be mshamish as rav al menas l'kabel pras. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says. So he says, "Haynu b'chayav nashim lo tava lo osa hatova shum mitzape." Specifically, in talking about tzedakah, he says that's if what you're looking for to happen didn't happen, you would regret the good that you did. As opposed to mishen tova mischarit, there is a tzaddik gamur. But if you're not tova mischarit, then you're a tzaddik gamur. If you wouldn't regret the good that you did, then you'd be a tzaddik gamur. Now, the context of there is tzedakah, but one might argue that the same would apply to Torah Shalol Lishma. That if you learn Torah Shalol Lishma because you're trying to accomplish something with this Torah. I'm learning Torah because I want everyone to call me rabbi. I want people to stand when they walk in a room. I want my wife to think I'm an Adam Chashuv. I want whatever. That's why I'm learning Torah. I'm learning Torah for all these. And turns out, no one thinks I'm a Talmud Chacham. No one stands when I walk in a room. My wife thinks I'm a lowlife. But I learned all this Torah. So what's my attitude going to be then? Am I going to regret having learned the Torah? It wasn't worth it. The guy doesn't get the girl. Was he going to think, all those angry birds I could have... What do? You kill them? I don't know. You know, all those angry birds I could have... whatever. And now I... Nebuchai is Chumash Rashi instead. What a waste. So if a person's going to say like that, so then maybe it's not a good thing. But if a person's going to feel that he gained something out of learning the Torah and he's not going to regret having done the positive thing, so then it's a good thing. So those are the basic approaches of Tosfos. Now it's interesting, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah and in Hilchos Shuva quotes this Gemara and leaves out one critical word. The Eglei Tal made a big deal about this Rambam in his Hakdama, one of the most famous Hakdamos to Svarim. It's good to learn Hakdamos to Svarim, by the way, in general. You learn Hakdama to a Sefer, it tells you a lot of things. It tells you why the author thinks the Sefer is important. It tells you a lot about the author. It tells you very often how to learn the Sefer. A lot of times you don't know what he's trying to do. You don't know what the point is, what he's intending to accomplish. It's very kedai. It usually doesn't take that long, except for the really long ones. If you read the Hakdama to the Netziv and his commentary to the Shiltos, you could learn that for a year. But most Hakdamas are pretty short. They're pretty, Rav Moshe's Hakdama, very important. But the Eglei Tal made a big deal about the Rambam's comment. The Rambam, both in the 10th parak of Hilchos Teshuva and the 3rd parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah, he says, "Lo miyask adam b'Torah shaloshma, shemitoch shaloshma b'alashma." It doesn't say mitzvah, it only says Torah. But apparently only Torah shaloshma, so there's machlokas. How to understand that Rambam? Rav Moshe and Rambam had a different girsa, but how do you know that he said maybe his girsa was b'toru uve midos, not b'torah of mitzvos, b'torah b'midos, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, which is an interesting chiddush also. Why would it be Torah and midos? What dafka is, why would the Gemara sing about midos? But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes that, no, the Rambam agrees, of course, that it's Torah u'mitzvos. The chiddush is Torah. First of all, Babich Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch HaRav that you might think that Torah accomplishes nothing when you do it Shalol Shema, because you're not learning Almanas Lasos. No, so we still say that do it Shalol Shema, because it's still worthwhile. The Gleital says that this all relates to Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana. That in general, Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana, the Rambam paskins, and therefore Shalol Shema is considered like Eino Miskavein, L'shem Mitzvah. And therefore, you wouldn't be Yotze, it would be worthless. But Torah, everyone holds mitzvah saying shrichas kavana for Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah doesn't need kavana. Segle Tal makes a very big deal about how a lot of people think that if they enjoy their learning, they're doing something wrong. Like they feel like they feel guilty. It's not really l'shem shemayim. I'm doing it because I enjoy it. He says, no, Torah is supposed to be enjoyed. You're supposed to love it. You're supposed to enjoy it. You're supposed to be nana from your Talmud Torah. That's not called Torah Shalol Lishma. That's a very high level of Talmud Torah. So that Lital talks about that Rambam as well. But I think in this case, it's a davar pashut, that this would be, I told the guy, I'm a big mekel. I'm a very big mekel. I allow Talmud Torah. I think you're allowed to learn. I don't think there's a problem with learning before the girl comes in terms of the Talmud Torah element. What about the Gnevis Tas element? The girl is going to say yes to the date because she thinks he's a masmid. And before every other class of the day, he's playing Angry Birds, and it's only this class that he's taking out a chumash just to impress the girl. So is it a violation of Gnevis Tas? So Gnevis Tas, we could talk on a broader level, because there are a lot of applications of Gnevis Tas that sometimes people just naturally assume it's got to be mutter, that there's got to be no problem with it. And I just had a shayla today. Someone who buys tickets, maybe I should save this for a different week, but whatever. Someone who buys tickets online and sells them. He just, a Rebbe, someone who's in chinuch, and he just likes to buy and sell because it's an easy way to make quick money. Like by the Super Bowl, he was buying parking tickets all over Arizona, all over near the stadium. So he'd buy them for $50 or whatever and sell them on StubHub for $100. And the same people who are going on StubHub could have gone to any other website just like he is and bought them, but people just like go straight to StubHub. They go straight to the secondary market, so he's able to make a quick few $100 selling these things. So he bought season tickets for the Portland Trailblazers a couple of weeks ago. Okay, they then sent him an email, we're refunding your money, but you live outside of the perimeter of where you're allowed to buy season tickets from the Portland Trailblazers. I guess there are rules because they want to either avoid the secondary markets or avoid some competing team's fans from buying up all their tickets and taking away their home court advantage. I don't know. But they have some sort of rules like this.
So, the game.
What?
Well,
maybe he has a private jet and he's going to come to the. So they say, no, you're not, we don't sell season tickets to someone who lives that far away. Fine. So they don't sell season tickets to him. But, don't sell season tickets, but if you are a season ticket holder, if you are on their list of season ticket holders, you could buy face value tickets to certain elite games. So he bought a game, a Friday night, Portland Trailblazers versus Oklahoma City Thunder. I think that's a big deal in that part of the world. So, and they had him on the list as a season ticket holder. So they sold him the ticket for $42. And he turned around and he bought 10 of them and he sold them all for $100 a piece. Talking 5 minutes, made $600. So he asked me, was that okay? He did it already. Then he asked, is it okay to do? So what's the issue? Why are they giving him $42 seats? Because they think he's a season ticket holder, because he snuck in there as a season ticket holder, but then he got the refund, but I guess that the computer didn't catch up on that one yet, and he's on that list. So now everyone's going to go buy Portland. So there are lots of applications of Gnevis Das. Over there he's not actively being Gonev Das. He just ordered tickets. He went online and ordered tickets and paid for them. So a lot of applications. It's important to just get a broad view of the sugya. So maybe we'll try to do that for a little bit now.
The difference between a Jew and a
Goy? Anyway, rather than so in Gnevis Das in particular, there isn't. In many mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, there is a difference between a Jew and a Goy. Usually in mitzvos haseh ben adam l'chavero, there's a difference between a Jew and a Goy. In the mitzvos lo saseh ben adam l'chavero, it depends. Some yes, some no. There's an isser. There's no isser of na'a of the guy, for example. But there's an isser of kneves das. There's definitely an isser to steal kneves mamon. I should have said it the other way around. There's an isser to steal, and there's definitely an isser of kneves das. The Gemara says in Maseches Chulin, because that's what it says explicitly. The Gemara says it's also lignov das abrios afilu das aku. You're not even allowed to be konev das akum. So the Rishonim and Achronim have a difficult time understanding why does Gnevis das apply to a guy. Now that's in contrast to to'us akum. If a guy makes a mistake, gives you too much change, so there's no requirement. It's a kiddush Hashem to do it, but there's no halachic requirement to let him know about the mistake that he made. But that's where he's the one that's acting. When you're gonev das, you're actively being gonev das, and it's also lignov das akum as well. You know, so a lot of times when kids will do something dishonest, they say, oh, the teacher's a guy. So first of all, it's totally irrelevant in terms of gonev das, from a halachic point of view. And second of all, they don't even realize who they're being gonev das from. It's not just the teacher. Meaning when your grades are earned dishonestly, so you're being gonev das from your future employers, from the administration of the school, from your parents who are paying tuition, you're being gonev das everybody. To think that you're such a hard worker and you put in the time and you did what, it's okay, it's gonev das everything. But let's take a step back. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Beis, tells us that there are shalosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu sonan. There are three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. And on the list of three people, that's pretty strong lashon. Three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates is someone who's insincere. Someone who's echad b'peh, the echad b'lev. And the Gemara in Chulin, that Sadidal, tells us of horrible, tragic consequences. So Chulin Sadidal is the main sugi of Gnevas Das. Horrible, tragic consequences of Gnevas Das. The Chazal seem to consider it on a certain level more severe than stealing money. The Achronim try to explain that maybe it's similar. I saw in an Achron, I had a sefer I have at home, I forgot what it's called, M.S. Kana or something like that, where he says that it's similar to the difference between Geneva and Gezela, right? Even if you assume that Gezela, Menchas Chinuch writes, that even if you assume Gezela from a non-Jew is only Yasumi Darabanan, Geneva from a non-Jew may still be Yasumi Daraisa. There's a chiluk between Geneva and Gezela. Why? Because we often think of mitzvahs in two categories. There are mitzvahs b'nan l'mako, mitzvahs b'nan l'chavero. But in reality, there are three categories. There's mitzvahs b'nan l'mako, mitzvahs b'nan l'chavero, mitzvahs b'nan l'atzmo. I think we may have discussed it in one of the shiurim. Right? That if a person goes into a room all alone and smashes things and yells and screams and kicks and whatever, that's not okay. That's a mitzvah b'nan l'atzmo. A person should be refined and should control himself and should be, even if it's not affecting anybody, it's not hurting anybody, it's not having any impact on anybody. That's what Rav Asher Weiss points out in several of his svarim. He writes that there are two gemaras in Shas that talk about being doma takarosh baruch hu. Zekeli van veyu, the gemara learns several things from Zekeli van veyu. It says we learn hider mitzvah from Zekeli van veyu, but one of the things we learn is have a doma lo. You should be similar to takarosh baruch hu. So what does it say, and how should you be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mahu rachu, ma fatah rachu, mahu chanun, ma fatah chanun. But then there's another Gemara. The Gemara tells us that you should be misdabik b'shchina. So how is one misdabik b'shchina? Mahu mevaker cholim, ma fatah mevaker cholim. Mahu malbish arumim, ma fatah malbish arumim. Now, why two different psukim, two different drashas, two different Gemaras? This seems to be saying the same thing. Be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Asher explains very beautifully, and I think it's MS, it's Mamish MS, that one Gemara is highlighting what you do. The other Gemara is highlighting what you are. And those are different things. You could be Malbish Harumin, Mevaker Cholim, give tzedakah. That's what you do, and that's important. That's Ben Adam L'Chaveru. But that's not necessarily what you are. You can give a check to tzedakah and feel zero rachmanos for the ani whatsoever. And then you're doing a wonderful mitzvah, ben adam l'chavero. But ben adam l'atzmo, there's something still wanting. The Gemara mahu rachum, mahu chanun, that Gemara is all about ben adam l'atzmo. I may not be able to afford to give the ani anything. I may not be able to help him at all. But I'll cry with him. I'll feel sad for him. That's something, that's ben adam l'atzmo. That's just about a person being a good person. So we have these different categories of mitzvah. So if a person steals discreetly, he's showing a tremendous lack of yiras shemayim by fearing other people more than he fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas that's not only a violation, that's Adam La'atzmo, that he hasn't worked on his own Yerushalayim, that he hasn't worked on his own sense of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into his life. Now, the Torah may consider, on a Doraisa level, it may consider the Nechasim of a guy to be Hefker and not subject to Gezela, but on a, and only Aser Midrabanim for Gezela, but it would still be subject to Geneva, because maybe that's not a violation against the guy, it's a violation against yourself, because it reflects something Ben Adam La'atzmo. So even that's why maybe Geneva, even if it's less than a Shava Pruta, it would be Aser, whereas Gezela is only more than a Shavapruta. So similarly, Katayna, that Geneva Stas may be worse than actual stealing for that reason. Because Geneva Stas reflects not just Stam, you have a Taiva, and therefore you do something to hurt someone else, to take someone else's money. It reflects a fundamental lack of honesty in the person himself. And that's inexcusable. That's something that that's fundamentally bad in the person's personality. That's one of the explanations the Achronim give why Geneva Stas may be worse than Geneva Mamon. It's also a discussion where it comes from. You can say it's Aser. So where's the Aser? Where does it say in the Torah you're not allowed to be Geneva Stas? So there's a lot of the example the Gemara gives. The Gemara gives several examples. Chulin Daf Sayyid Dalit. It's Kedai to learn. Sayyid Dalit Amin Aleph. The Gemara gives an example where Shmuel asked his Shamish to pay a ferry driver. He took a ferry somewhere. He said, pay the ferry driver. So the Shamish said, okay, I got a chicken over here. So he gave a chicken to the ferry driver. I guess he used to be able to pay in chickens. So he gave a chicken to the ferry driver. It happened to have been a tray for chicken. But he said, look, I got a chicken, you know, blessed by the rabbi and whatever. So the guy thought, the ferry driver, who wasn't a Jew, and he's allowed to eat treif, thought you were giving him a kosher chicken. So he thought you were giving up something that you could have used. And that's Geneva Stas. Shmuel got upset at a shamish. Don't make him believe you're giving up something that you could have used and that it's a chashva thing to you if you're giving up something that's treif that you had no use for anyway. That's Geneva Stas. What difference does it make to him? The mind of community to him? Because he thinks that you gave something up for him. And that's also not appropriate, that to make a person think, to be echad bepev, echad b'lev, to make a person think that you're a close friend of his, or that you went out of your way for him, when you didn't, creates a certain trust in the relationship that's really unfounded. Meaning, if you would say something to your friends, or you would, if you're facing a certain challenge, let's say you're applying for a job and you need advice on the interview, and you speak to a friend about the interview, and you don't know that that friend doesn't really like you that much, and he just pretends to like you, and maybe his brother's applying for the same job. Or maybe is you know, so it's going to create a certain trust that you wouldn't reveal things to him that will leave you vulnerable if you knew how he really felt about you. So it's not healthy to be echad bepeh ve'echad b'lev. The Gemara gives other examples. You invite someone to your house knowing that he won't be able to make it. So you just figure, you owe this person an invitation. There are people that like to keep score, that he invited me this number of times, so I have to invite them back X number of times. So you owe him an invitation, but you really don't want to have him over to your house. So you wait till you overhear him say that he's going to somewhere else, he has a simcha or something, and then you invite him that week. The Gemara says that's us, it's also Geneva Stas. The Gemara says if you bring a barrel of wine as a gift and you put some oil at the mouth of the barrel, it gives the impression that you bring oil, which is more expensive than wine, so you shouldn't make what you're giving look more expensive than it really is. Also a violation of Geneva Stas. But what is it? What is the nature of the Isser? So the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira Perech Yurches is where he talks about Geneva Stas. That's in Hilchos Ona'ah. So it sounds like the Rambam holds that it's a violation of Ona'ah. The problem with the Rambam is that the Gemara is explicit. You're not allowed to be Goneiv Das of a guy. Ona'ah doesn't apply to a guy. So it's unclear why Geneva's Das would if it's a Din and Ona'ah. The Ritva in Chulin Daf Sayyid Dal said it's Geneva. It's just another form of Geneva. You're to be Goneiv Daito. The Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva says, nah, it's not Geneva, it's not Ona'ah, it's Midvar Sheker Tirchak. You're not allowed to lie. And it's a fundamental untruth to be Goneiv Das. That's the issue. Now, what if you don't say anything? So Tosos writes in Chulin Daf Sadi Dalid that the issue of Geneva Stas applies even if you don't say a single word. Even if you just give an impression without saying anything. You give a certain impression of something without saying a single word. The Rambam has an interesting lashon. The Rambam says something like, Afilu davar echad, Afilu mila acha, something like that. Even a single word of Geneva Stas is Aser. So some of the Achronim say, well, so there has to be words? And if there are no words, then it wouldn't be asr. So Pashas says Ram doesn't mean that. He's saying afilu. He's saying even if it's a very minimal amount, it's still going to be an isr of gneivas das. The Gemara says that if it's to show kavod, if it's a normal thing that people do as a way of showing kavod, then you're allowed to be gonev das, meaning you're allowed to offer things that you're not really offering if that's what people normally do. Ah, okay. Wedding invitations, people know you. That if it's understood, sometimes it's not understood that you don't really want that. Meaning,
you don't want that to come, but you just invited
that. Right? Is that for cover? Maybe that would fit. Right? Somebody, it's not coming yet. Maybe that would fit. Something like that. What it says, like if it's customary to offer someone wine or something when he comes, you know, and the customary thing is he always turns it down. I don't know what the parallel would be nowadays. Maybe the wedding invitations. Right? It's just customary that's what you offer, and customarily he turns it down. So you show that sense of kavod. I mean, that's just etiquette. That's not kavod. Now, there's a lot of discussion. Post can point out that if the guy is gonev das atzmo, then that's not a violation of gonev das. I mean, if the person is a fool, and you didn't really do anything to be gonev their das, the Gemara says, Rav and Rav Safra were going to a town, and they saw Marzutra, and Marzutra, when he saw them, assumed they came to greet him. And he said, "What? Thank you so much for coming all the way out to greet me." Rav Safra said, "Oh no, we really had no idea you were coming. It was just a coincidence. We were just taking a walk, and we ran into you." But he said, "You know, had we known you were coming, you know, you're very chash. We probably would have come to greet you." So Rav said to Rav Safra, "Why did you have to tell him that? It says that leaves him deflated. Why would you say something that's going to make him feel?" So Rav Safra explained he thought about Kanevis Das. Rav said, "What do you mean? That's not Kanevis Das. He's drawing his own conclusions. You're not doing anything wrong. You're taking a walk." He decided that you took a walk to greet him. That's his own mishigas. You go visit someone in a hospital. So I was just in the hospital today visiting someone. So you go visit someone in the hospital. Let's say you're checking the rooms, you know, to find where the chola that you're visiting is, and you see that there's someone else you happen to know on the same floor as that guy. So you drive all the way to Cornell. I went to Cornell, not the university, not that far, to you know, New York and Manhattan, to the medical center. And you go in, and you see, so there's someone else that you're mildly acquainted with who happens to be there. I'm there anyway. Might as well go into the room and say hello. So if the person says, you came all this way just to see me? So I don't know, maybe you don't have to tell him that you didn't. You may want to head it off to say, "I noticed you were here when I went to visit my friend. I wanted to stop in and say hello." You know, 'cause it won't be awkward, won't be uncomfortable. Certainly, if your wife just had a baby and you have the thing around your wrist that you know, when you're in scrubs and it says you know, when you're carrying balloons that say Mazel Tov or whatever, and you walk into his room and he says, "I can't believe you came all this way to see me, and you must have found the balloons on sale or something, you know, you got Mazel Tov," you know, then he's going to das atzmo. You don't have to correct every time someone makes a mistake like that. It could end up making him feel more deflated than he would be. But someone was just telling me. Someone in business was just telling me in real estate that it's meisim b'chol yom in real estate, and I hope this isn't true, but I'm told that it's meisim b'chol yom in real estate that when you are selling a property to somebody, you tell them, "Oh, you better act quick because there's another buyer that's very interested in the property," and you say that whether there is or is not another buyer. Because that's the way you make it. That's blatant knevis das. It's nothing to talk about. That's poskim say explicitly to lie and make.
You might not know who he is.
That's knevis das. Yeah.
If they may not be able to tell you who.
If that's what everyone does, then what?
Right, I guess, meaning if you're talking to someone who doesn't know that's what everyone does, but it's still inappropriate. It's just, you know, why would you say it? Meaning, why do people still say it if that's what everyone does? It must be because people know that people still buy it. People are still believing it. Also, changing appearance of things. The Shari Tshuva writes in Tafresh Memhei Osvav that if you're a mocher lulavim, you shouldn't paint them green to make them look fresher. Right, makes sense. You shouldn't paint them green to make them look fresher. But that's changing the appearance is a violation of Gnevis Das. Sefer Hasidim says that it's Gnevis Das for a person who's already turned gray, he's already a little older, to dye his hair black. to make himself look younger. Let's say he's a man, he's a 50-year-old single man, and he likes dating 25-year-old women, but they don't want to go out with a guy that looks like he's 50. So he decides he's going to dye his hair and he's going to try to make himself look younger. So Sefer Chassidim says, Knevis Das. It's also possible to discuss whether that's other Yisurim also dying here, whether it's Begadisha, things like that. But it's a violation to change the appearance. So that maybe thinking back to this guy, he's making himself look like a Masmid, he's making himself look like a Bentara, and he's not as much of a masmid as he's making himself look like. So is that a violation of changing the appearance? So I thought not so. I thought he does learn sometimes. He goes to yeshiva, he goes to a shir. I'm sure he's maver sedra at some point. So he's choosing to learn now. I don't think that would be a violation of Knevis Das. But I want to get to the exam case. What about this teacher that gave the exams, all the exams from the internet? So Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about cheating on exams, where Rav Moshe was asked that al dvar she'elas al masha shama shebi yeshivos matirin la talmidim lignov es hatshuvos l'she'elos b'mivchanei hasiyum she'os ha'medina in parentheses regents. that he heard that there are some yeshivas that allow the students to steal the answers to the regents in advance of the regents. That it was in the newspaper. I remember one year it was on the front page of the New York Post or the Daily News or something. Yeshiva students, it was the biggest chilul Hashem in the world. Yeshiva students had stolen the regents, and they actually canceled the regents that year of a certain subject because it was printed on the front page of the New York Post. I have a cousin who was that year, was taking the regents that year, and his mother woke him up and said, "Here, quick." And she gave him the newspaper like she was giving him some contraband, like he was the only one that had the newspaper. He's like, "Ma, I think, you know, if it's in the newspaper, I don't think it's going to be that helpful." But Rav Moshe was asked, is there any heter to do this? So every posek who has a tshuva about this says the same thing. Kind of shaila. How's this? You know, you write shaila in tshuvas form when people have real shailas. You're asking if you're allowed to cheat. That's ridiculous. What kind of shaila? So they're all shocked that anyone would even ask such a shaila. So Ramesh says it's gnevis das vadai. That's for sure. It's also gnevis mamon. You're going to get a job. Someone's going to hire you because you have good grades, and they're going to think you're qualified, and you're not qualified, and someone else isn't going to get that job. Then Ramesh says, you know what else is going to happen? Because you're a ben yeshiva, say you're going to be working in an office one day, and the boss is going to notice that something went missing, and he's got two employees. He's got you, the ben yeshiva, and another employee. And he's going to accuse you, he's going to know the ben yeshiva can never do anything wrong, so he's going to, he would never steal, so he's going to accuse the other employee, and he's going to fire him wrongfully because of you. Because you got that job. Now, why is he assuming you're going to steal? Because he's assuming if you're a dishonest person, that's what you're going to end up doing. You're going to be the guilty party, and the other guy is going to get fired. Because look at you. You wear a yarmulke. You wear tzitzis. You're a ben tara.
He's only fooling himself. Maybe the employer didn't do enough research.
No, an employer couldn't. What's he supposed to go on? He has grades, he has SAT grades, he has your GPA. He has to research every class you took and figure out whether you cheated in that class. And that's a little much to ask from him. And Ramesh says, and he says, I know all the excuses. Someone's going to say, well, I'm qualified anyway. I deserve this job. I could do this job. So it's not tricking the employer. So Ramesh says, is it reasonable for an employer to look at grades, to figure out what your work ethic is, to figure out what your intelligence is? It's a reasonable thing, it's a way to judge someone. So it's not for you to say that I'm qualified. I believe the employer is allowed to say who's qualified and who's not qualified. And very often the grades will tell them something about the person's work ethic, and your work ethic is lousy if you're a cheater. And he says people say bittul Torah. He says that's ridiculous. He says that's laziness. That's not piety. It's not bittul Torah. He says you don't want to study secular subjects. Don't study secular subjects. But if you're going to study secular subjects and you're going to cheat and you're going to take shortcuts, you're going to end up taking shortcuts in your learning also. But then Ramesh concludes the tshuva and he says, but don't worry, all of this is irrelevant because this never could have happened. Because everyone knows that any yeshiva that ever existed would never stand for such a thing. And everything we stand for is the exact opposite of this. So mistam, it's a bunch of anti-Semites that are spreading false rumors about yeshiva bachrim and saying that yeshiva bachrim cheat. But it's impossible. He says, I can't be makabel that such a thing ever happens. And hopefully the anti-Semites will stop saying such terrible things about us. But it should be pointed out that Rabbi, and Rav Asner also, Rav Asner has a tshuva in Shevet Halevi Chelek Yud. He was also asked about this, about the height of chutzpah. Parents were complaining in a girl's school in Tel Aviv that the administration doesn't let the girls cheat. They were complaining. How are they supposed to do well if they don't if they don't cheat? So Vazner says, because it's Knevis Das, it's Midrash HaGetirchak, it's training a person to become deceitful, and again, you're going to be hired for a job that you're not a competent candidate for, etc. Rabbi Bleich, in Contemporary Halachic Problems, points out a very important nekuda, though. He writes, teachers are employed to serve as proctors during examinations. A teacher who is not vigilant, meaning many of you are in between, you may be on the other side of this, of the desk at some point. A teacher who is not vigilant to see, to walk. The teacher wants to sit and learn. It's a bit tired for me to proctor an exam. So the rabbi wants to sit and learn while the students are taking the exam. That's not appropriate either, because he's being paid to do a job. He's being paid to be a shomer. And if he's not doing a proper shmirah, so that's not okay. But not only that, teachers are paid to write exams and to write questions on exams and to do. And students are permitted to use things like barons to study for exams. That's a very normal thing to study for an exam with. So I thought in this case, normally, like I told you, when it comes to honesty cases, very very machmir, very cautious. But in this case, I thought it was completely on the teacher. The teacher should be disciplined in some way for that. The teacher's not doing the job. The job is to make sure that you're doing a proper job, that you're not just copying and pasting someone else's stuff and making it so easy for the students that the first thing you Google and that's going to be the first thing that shows up. I thought that was and to use the same one, not much the same one every single time. I thought that was terrible for the teacher to do that. I don't think the students have any. Now the students may be robbing themselves of an education, and they may want to talk it over with their parents first about whether the parents who are paying tuition for them to get an education are okay with them not studying, and instead of studying, just remembering A, B, D, D, B, whatever, and knowing the answers that way. Most of the parents, whatever the parents would say, but it's on the teacher, I think, in that situation. Okay, that's it for this week. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big.